Bring your greetings this evening from the Upton congregation. Count it a privilege to be with you this evening. We were thinking about these meetings, praying for the meetings, and we'd like to have come sometime to know what our schedule would permit. But we decided to come tonight. Beautiful fall day, beautiful fall evening, after a very hot summer. And the Lord promised that there would always be the change of seasons, and He is faithful to us again today. Scripture lesson for tonight is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Be reading the entire chapter, Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As an apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay with me, flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethnor. Shall we kneel as we pray together?
We're glad for the presence of each one as we've come again this evening. This is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. When I sit up here in the front seat, I look at this little plaque over here on the side, and I see that verse of Scripture, and that's one of my favorites. When I think of revival, I think of that verse found in Psalms 85:6. Says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? It's kind of a prayer, I guess we would say that's a prayer. Revive us, revive me again, that there may be a time of rejoicing. You know, Peter talks about those times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. I like to think of revival as at least when I'm sitting in the audience, kind of a time of refreshing where I can soak it in. It doesn't always happen that way, but sometimes we're on the serving end instead of the receiving end. But God is always good, and we're glad that you're here tonight. And we sang that song to start off this evening. Brother Randy led us in that song, Revive Us Again. And I remember one time being in a little church for revival, and there was several of us preachers up in the front. We had it was a little church back there. Some of you older people, I don't know if you were ever there or not, back at the Cherry Lane Church. A little church back in McCollinsburg Way, north of McCollinsburg, Knobsville. The older brethren used to go back there sometimes and preach. And I'm sure some of the Lehighs did, Shannon. I'm sure you remember some of those. Maybe you don't remember being there, but you remember of them talking about that. And
We were sitting up front, and the song leader that night decided that he was going to have several of us say hallelujah, and the preachers would say hallelujah, and the other folk in the congregation would say, thine the glory. And we had a couple preachers. Some of us can't sing that great, but it was kind of interesting to hear that song, and the congregation would say, thine the glory, preachers would say hallelujah. Just about four or five of us sitting in that little booth up in front of that church. That was a neat little church. The building's still there, but no church going on there. But they were some good times in the house of God. Our subject for a little while tonight, Lord willing, is on the thought of Jesus, the Rose of Sharon. And we changed the scripture that we had you read tonight. We Danny read for our opening. I want to use the first verse of that chapter that says, I am the Rose of Sharon. Now, the book of the Song of Solomon, there's three books in the Bible that are credited to Solomon, which we would say was the wisest man outside of the Lord Jesus that ever lived. But Solomon made some bad choices in his life as well, but he did have a lot of wisdom. The Bible says in 1 Kings 4:32, talking about the wisdom of Solomon, that he spoke 3,000 proverbs. Not sure if they're all recorded or not, but the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon here, says he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. 1,005. And as we read this, Song of Solomon, there's a lot of very intimate expressions in here. Intimacy in the marital intimacy. It illustrates the love relationship that I believe that Solomon had. He talks about a Shumanite woman in some of the chapters, these chapters that follow. But it speaks to us, I believe, tonight of the love of God for his people. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his bride. You know, as we think of the Old Testament, the children of Israel, Israel was considered to be the wife of Jehovah God. God's wife. There are scriptures that would bear that out. In the New Testament, the church of Jesus Christ has a relationship with Christ as the bride and the bridegroom. It's a beautiful love relationship. It's a very intimate relationship. And as Solomon writes this, the first verse of chapter 1 says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And sometimes, you know, when we read scripture, there is a primary lesson or a teaching that we read when we read some of these verses. There are some secondary meanings that we can take out of it, or even prophecies that we can take out of some of these things. And as I read this first verse of the chapter that Brother Dennis read tonight, I am the Rose of Sharon. You know, God in the Old Testament talked about being the I Am. When Moses saw the angel there at the burning bush, and God spoke to him out of the burning bush, and the message was that he was to go to back to his people, go back to the children of Israel for deliverance. He was going to use him to deliver his people, to call them out of bondage. And whenever Moses said, well, who am I to say that spoke to me, or who am I to tell sent me unto you? And he says, tell them that I am sent you unto them. The I Am. God is the great I Am. We read about the I Am again when, I believe it's in maybe the 8th chapter or so of the book of St. John, when Jesus was speaking with some of the unbelieving Jews, and they believed in Abraham, but they didn't want to believe in Jesus. And Jesus told that crowd, he says, before Abraham was, I Am. And boy, they couldn't accept that. They didn't understand that. And he was before Abraham. He was in the beginning with the Father, before the Before the world was created, Jesus Christ was with God the Father. He was the Lamb that was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, the Bible says, in these last times. He is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. God's plan for redemption was not something that just happened, happenstance, something that God made up and decided to have some kind of a plan after man had sinned, but it was in the divine plan of God before, he says, even the foundation of the world. But Jesus told that unbelieving crowd of Jews, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they said to him, they said, well, you're not even 50 years old. And you haven't seen, Abraham didn't see you. Abraham's long gone. And then Jesus said, before Abraham was, he said, I am. And I believe that this I am that's in this portion of Scripture tonight, I am the Rose of Sharon, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. You know, we read in the Gospel of John and some other places about I am. Jesus uses different scriptures there when he talks about him being the I am. He says, I am the Good Shepherd in John's Gospel. I'm not going to refer to all the references in them, but he says, I am the door into the sheepfold. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. Ye are the branches, he says. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Revelations 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the great I am. I'm glad today that I have found, if this I am here, it's in capital letters in my Bible. I believe that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the Rose of Sharon. I'm glad tonight that I have found the Rose of Sharon. We talk about different songs sometimes that we sing in church. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, we sing sometimes. We sing another song, I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. And that's the friend tonight. That's the one that I want to bring before you, the Rose of Sharon. I'm thankful that I have found him, and he's all that he's claimed to be, and a whole lot more. If he's not that to you tonight, you need a fresh touch of the Master's hand. You know, we can read about him in all of the Bible, in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. I believe I said last evening that in the Old Testament, Christ, the Rose of Sharon, is concealed many times. In the New Testament, he is revealed. He is the revelation of the written Word of God. He is the Word that was made flesh, the Bible says, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He tonight truly is the Rose of Sharon. This rose tonight, I said, is real in the Old Testament as well as the New. Those disciples that were on the road to Emmaus following the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and their eyes, the Bible says, was holding from them. I'm sure they were open, but they didn't recognize Jesus, the resurrected Christ. And the Bible says, as in their conversation on their journey to Emmaus, he said, why are you sad? Jesus asked them, and they said, well, haven't you heard? They didn't know who he was. Haven't you heard the things that have happened in Jerusalem during the past days? And we thought that that was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And it says that Jesus began, now listen, he began at Moses. Now Moses wrote the five books of the Bible, first five books of the Bible. He began with Moses and all of the prophets and expounded unto them the things concerning who? Concerning himself. Himself. Jesus Christ, I've said already, is found on every page of the blessed book, the Old Testament, even as well as the New Testament. We read about him in Deuteronomy, where Moses said that the Lord is going to raise up among you, among the Israelite people, he's going to raise him up a prophet like unto his people that would be a redeemer, that would redeem them. We read about him in Isaiah's scroll. I said, if there's any gospel in the Old Testament, it's in the book of Isaiah. A lot of things in the book of Isaiah concerning the suffering servant and the coming of the Messiah and how that he was to be born of a virgin and conceived and so on. All of those things, we read about him there. This Rose of Sharon. I believe we can read about him in the book of Psalms. We can read about him in David. A lot of the Psalms that he wrote, out on the Galilean hills, I guess, watching the sheep. I believe David sang and maybe played his harp, but we can see this Rose of Sharon through the entire Holy Writ, the Old Testament as well as the New. I believe it's in John chapter 5 where Jesus was speaking again to some unbelieving Jews, and they believed in Abraham, and they believed in some of the fathers and stuff. And Jesus said to them, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So the scriptures testify of Jesus. They tell us about Christ and why he was coming and the purpose for which he come and so on. So the Rose of Sharon tonight, I believe, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament tells us that he is coming. The New Testament tells us that the Rose of Sharon has come and that he is coming again. The Bible is the written word, God's word written in ink. Jesus is the living word, God's word, and his love letter is written with blood. He is tonight the Rose of Sharon. Now, Sharon is a place mentioned several times in the scriptures. And it's a place where David's herds of cattle and flocks of sheep fed in 1 Chronicles 27:29. We can read about that. And it's a small plain situated between Mount Tabor and the Sea of Tiberias. I don't know exactly where that lays, but that's kind of a location if you look on a map of the Bible. But it's in this plain called Sharon is where the roses of Sharon were found, where they grew. They weren't really planted. Most of us today plant roses. They weren't really planted. They kind of grew up on their own like wildflowers over the place. But they were in this valley of Sharon where David, his herd of cattle and flocks, where they were kept and where they grazed. These roses were there for anyone to gather. They were the only roses that did not have thorns on them. There, we sing that song sometimes, a rose among the thorns. There's a song talks about that, that Jesus is a rose among the thorns. Well, when we look at him, he was a rose compared to the thorns of this world, the sin of this world, briars and thistles and thorns. Those things are a result of sin, the curse that God placed upon the earth after Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden. And Jesus was not one of them. He was holy, my Bible says. He was undefiled. He's separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. He was without sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. That's my Rose of Sharon tonight. That's Jesus, a rose among the thorns. The rest of us are born with a sinful, Adamic nature, a sin nature, a heart that's depraved, and eventually if it goes long enough, it becomes desperately wicked, the prophet Jeremiah says. Who can know it? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, if you look in a catalog of nursery products today and plants, you go to the nursery. I don't know if Brian, they have a greenhouse, whether they have, and the Lehighs have the orchard, and some people, others work in orchards here, I guess. And I don't know whether there's any plants. If you sell shrubbery, whether you sell the Rose of Sharon plant or not. We have a couple, I think, at home. You could get them in varied colors, but it's blue beautiful, has different colors, and the Rose of Sharon does not have any jaggers on it, any thorns on it. If there's anything that I hate about trimming the rose bush, it's I got to wear gloves or something. I get jaggers in my fingers, and I don't like that. But that's part of what we call roses today. But the Rose of Sharon, the Rose of Sharon's different from a regular old rose bush. Rose bush. But when it blooms, it's beautiful. I'd like to look a couple of things tonight about the Rose of Sharon. Jesus is the Rose of Sharon. The first thing tonight is that Jesus is the beautiful Rose of Sharon. The beautiful Rose of Sharon. Now, the Bible does say, if you read in Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says about that, and when we shall, he shall come forth as a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And it says there that there's no beauty. Let me turn to that. I'll find that, and I can tell you what. Read that scripture just exactly as it says. Where it talks about there's no form. Isaiah 53. Let me find it here. He shall grow up, verse 2. It says about who hath believed our report, verse 1, whom the arm... And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Now this is speaking about the suffering servant, the coming of Christ, the Messiah. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, I said that he is the beautiful Rose of Sharon. He's beautiful tonight in his character. I believe this is a picture of what Christ looked like after he was tortured, after he was spit upon, after he was mocked. The Bible says that even the hair, his beard, they pulled hair out of his beard. And the scourgings and all of those things that they did to him, he was still the beautiful Rose of Sharon. He was beautiful in his character. He was beautiful in his compassion. He was beautiful in his love. He was beautiful in his surrender. He's beautiful in his sacrifice and all that he accomplished. I don't believe that Jesus was a person that was a homely individual. Some of us are a little homely, I include myself. Not real pleasant, not real. You talk about being handsome. Ladies are beautiful. Men are handsome, I guess. I don't know. I don't hear too much about handsome women. But a real good-looking person. Some of us just don't have it. We haven't been endowed with all of that. Lord bless you if you have. But I don't believe that Jesus was somebody that had an ugly face, if you would say. I believe it was beautiful. But after they did all of those things to him, he did it because of your sin and because of my sin. I believe this is what a picture is of him. It was a root out of dry ground, it says. Dry ground. Jesus did not come from the kingly priests and from the hierarchy of the people. He came from the lowly, a babe in a manger. He was born by poor people, They didn't have a whole lot to take to the temple to sacrifice. Whenever Jesus was born and so on. So he came in a lowly way. It wasn't anything of pomp and splendor. It was out of Jesse. It talks about a root out of Jesse. Jesse and David and the lineage that he came from. And so Jesus tonight is the beautiful rose of Sharon. This beautiful flower comes from maybe one of the driest plants, an old rose bush. If it don't have any posies on, it's not much to look at. It's not much to look at. It's dry and jaggy and sticky and prickly, I guess you would say. But some 750 years before he came, Isaiah had prophesied concerning that. It says that wasn't that he was unattractive, but he was beautiful because his beauty was in his words and in his work and in his life. The love that he manifested for you and for I. As he was a rose, or the rose we would say maybe would be considered the queen of all the flowers. When men want to give something to their wives in particular, they'll give them a rose or a dozen of roses or whatever. Roses are kind of a queen, I guess we would say, of the flower family. I think there was a song we sang here just, might have been Sunday morning. I believe Andrew maybe led out of the Brethren Hymnal, 150. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly free, and knows no end. The rose bush, the rose of Sharon. Carnations are pretty and daisies are pretty and some other ones are pretty, but the rose is kind of the queen of all the flowers. Lilies are pretty. Jesus, we could refer to him as the lily of the valley as well. But just as Jesus is in a class by himself, when compared to all others, a name that is above all others. It's a name that's better than any name. At whose name, the Bible says, one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Peter, I believe, preached, wasn't on Pentecost, but following that he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus. That is the rose of Sharon. It's a beautiful rose. It's a better rose. The Hebrew writer talks about that this rose, Jesus, is a better sacrifice. It's established upon a better covenant. It brings better promises. It gives us a better hope. It's a better way. It's the best of the better. It's far better than the best. It's higher than the highest. It's greater than the greatest. The rose of Sharon. It's a beautiful rose. Thinking about roses are known for their sweet aroma. Their sweet aroma. There is a fragrance that roses have. There is a fragrance that the rose of Sharon has. You know, the Old Testament, we read in the 30th chapter, I believe it is, of the book of Exodus, about the holy anointing oil that they were to make to anoint the high priests, and it was made to anoint the kings, and it gives there a concoction of things that they put together, spices and different things. And it was to be made after, the Bible says, the art of the apothecary. And if you know what an apothecary is a perfumer. It's somebody that makes sweet perfumes. We all like to smell good, don't we? We put a little dab on once in a while to kind of take care of body odor and to make us smell good. At least most of us do at times. You know, we just don't smell very good sometimes. and we need something to help us. And so there's an aroma about Jesus that is an anointing. I told you the other day, yesterday, I mentioned that verse of Scripture where Jesus, whenever he began his earthly ministry, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." After he read that scripture, he says, "For he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor," and so on. He had an anointing upon him. As Christians, we ought to have an anointing upon us as well. I read there in, I believe it's Psalms 133, 1, where it says, "How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It goes on to say, it's like the precious oil, the precious ointment that was poured down over Aaron, and down went down over his beard and down to the skirts of his garment. Aaron, the first high priest. There is an anointing. There is a fragrance about the rose of Sharon. There is a fragrance about that will draw people. If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. The Son of Man needed to be lifted up, and he will draw men. Spiritually speaking, he is the anointed one. That mixture was a special concoction that they were to use during the time when they were anointing kings and so on. A precious anointing oil. There's something about Jesus that draws people. That draws people. When Jesus walked by the blind man one day by the wayside begging, I believe the blind man smelled something. I'm using that in a, not maybe didn't smell it with his nose, but he sensed something that was coming down the road. Jesus touched the blind. He touched the lame and made them walk again. The blind saw. The deaf heard. The dead were raised to life. Jesus had an aroma about him that when he walked, it drew people to him. The crowds came. They even were drawn to him to try to crucify him. The crowd said, "Crucify him, crucify him." We get that aroma. I'm glad one day I got a scent from the Rose of Sharon, and it's changed my life. It lifted me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth. As David says in the 40th Psalm, even praise unto my God, unto his God. That's what the Rose of Sharon, the prodigal son, down in the hog pen, down in the pig pen, got a whiff one day of the Rose of Sharon. And he says, "I'm going to return to my father's house. Better things than the hog feed. Going to return back to the Father's house." So tonight, the Rose of Sharon is a beautiful rose. It smells good. The Rose of Sharon tonight is also a broken rose. When Solomon penned these words, roses were used for more than just something to look at and something to smell good. Roses were used for other things as well. They would take a rose and crush it. They would crush it and put it in a bowl and have rose petal water. And they would wash their hands and wash their feet. Another way to use the rose water, it had a medicinal effect. If someone had a fever or an infection in their body, they would take the rose and crush it and put it in the water. It would help infection and would bring healing. That was part of the Rose of Sharon. These are beautiful pictures of what Jesus will do for us as well, the Rose of Sharon. He'll give us a time of refreshing. He'll also give us healing. when there's infection from sin. He can cleanse the brokenhearted. He can bring deliverance to the captives. He can make the blind see. Those are all things that the Rose of Sharon. But he had to be broken to do that. The broken Rose of Sharon. Even if a person was suffering from depression, rose water was used to help depression. Sadness and sorrow would fade away. Maybe a little sip of nectar from the Rose of Sharon would give us some joy for the journey as well. I believe if Jesus continues to tarry his coming, we're going to need something to carry us through what we see is coming down the road. And I don't think we've seen the worst yet. I believe the Lord's just allowing some of these things to come to get us prepared, to get our hearts in tune, to get us revived again, that the people might rejoice. We might be strong enough to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. But this rose tonight is a broken rose. We read what Jesus said in the upper room when he was prior to his crucifixion. He had his disciples in the upper room. And the Bible says that he took bread that evening and he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Jesus tonight is the broken, not only the beautiful, but he's also the broken Rose of Sharon. We read here in Isaiah 53:5, where it says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. With his brokenness, we're healed. We're made whole again. For probably 4,000 years, God smelled the burnt carcasses of animals that were slain day after day and year after year as a sacrifice to cover men and women's sins. But on the day that Jesus died, the Lamb of God, that all those other sacrifices pointed forward to, was the Lamb that John the Baptist says takes away, not covers, but takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the broken rose. He's the beautiful rose, but he is the broken rose. And he was broken for you and for I. That only covered for a while, covered the sins of God's people as they looked forward to when Jesus would come. So I believe tonight that Jesus allowed himself, his body, to be offered on Calvary's cross, on Calvary's hill. And when his precious blood was shed, it was the broken rose. We sing that song, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their filthy stains." But when I think of Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood, he satisfied the just demands of a holy God. Prophet Isaiah again says that he shall see the travail of Jesus' soul and shall be satisfied. God wasn't satisfied with all of those animal sacrifices from the Garden of Eden clear up to Calvary. Didn't satisfy God, but the blood of Jesus Christ, Christ's sacrifice, did. That's where we lose our sinful stains. Jesus is not only the beautiful stone or the rose, the broken rose, but he's also the blooming Rose of Sharon. The blooming Rose of Sharon. I heard a song just recently, and I remembered the words. I heard the chorus. Nobody leaves, maybe I'll sing it for you. The verse, or the chorus. Of course, if I can get the tune here. Yes, the Rose of Sharon bloomed. When he came out of the tomb, he conquered death so that I could be free. On the third appointed day, the angel rolled the stone away. That's the day my Rose of Sharon bloomed. Have you ever heard it? You heard it tonight. At least you heard the chorus. I love that. That's the day my Rose of Sharon bloomed. He's the beautiful rose. He's the broken rose. He's the blooming rose. After Jesus was crucified, it was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus that buried the body of Jesus. But on the third and glorious day, God used an angel to roll the stone away. And the Rose of Sharon blooms. He's blooming today. He says he is the one that liveth and was dead. And behold, he says, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. He is the blooming rose. The chief priests and the Pharisees thought when they buried him, that was going to be the end. But God had other plans. One of the greatest messages in all the world. He is not here. He is risen. That resurrection morning on that first day of the week when they went and found the tomb was empty. Well, the Rose of Sharon blooms tonight. I'm not sure if he's blooming in everyone that's here tonight's heart, in everyone's life, but he's a beautiful rose, he's a broken rose, and he's also the blooming rose. I have some anointing oil at home that came from the Holy Land, and it's called the Rose of Sharon. The Rose of Sharon. I've used it a few times. Kind of nice. We were in the Holy Land, and I didn't get it. I sent for it after we got home, but that's where it came from. But it's called the Rose of Sharon. So I've presented him tonight, and that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. If you don't know him tonight as the blooming rose in your life, and have experienced the power of the resurrection of Christ in your heart and life, we would invite you tonight to come, stand where you're recognized, or come forward while Brother Randy leads us in a hymn this evening. What number are we going to sing? 117 in the little green hymnal. Hymns to be remembered. 117. The Spirit of the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. Won't you come while we sing?